At any rate, what happened, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I will say that there was, after that happened with Sandra Bland, a number of different things occurred. That's in the paper. You can find it, read it there. But the bottom line of what actually did happen after the legislature passed two bills that kind of caused problems for each other is that it was ultimately, Class C misdemeanors were ultimately not included in the bill. So there's kind of been a workaround that if when these things happen, that has been used by different parts of the state, but it's not written in to law as to how people have to handle and treat people who are mentally ill or have mental issues that are charged with a Class C misdemeanor. It does affect Class B misdemeanors, but so many people, especially homeless people, and just people with mental issues end up starting with a Class C misdemeanor, and then it, as you can imagine, pretty quickly escalates. The other reason I'm interested in it and interested in doing something or helping people be knowledgeable about it is that for quite some time now, I have been a special master at probable cause hearings for people who have taken against their will and placed in a mental hospital, and they get to come before a special master within 5 or 7 days, and can't remember exactly which, but anyway, they're before me, and you decide if they can leave the hospital after you've heard hearings on both sides of that, they can leave the hospital after a certain time or not. So they'll see a much more advanced judge in the next hearing that would come the next week. But at any rate, what we're talking about today and looking at is what are these issues, how do they interact? And the next thing that seemed to be, oh, here's a main reason I found it something that needed to be dealt with is according to Class C misdemeanors adjudicated in municipal courts, the number of them is phenomenal. And actually, this was a study from 2015, but there were a total of 17,587,118 felony and misdemeanor criminal cases filed in Texas. 80% of those criminal cases, or 14 million, were Class C misdemeanor cases. Docketed in municipal courts, and there were 180,000 trials for Class C misdemeanor cases in municipal courts in that year. And to put that into some kind of perspective, there was a combined total of 47,000 trials in all other Texas trial courts with criminal jurisdiction in Texas at the time. So that was remarkable to me, and it made it clear that this needed to be worked on. There are people, let me say that I did talk also with Jamie McLean, who is the attorney for the proposed patients at the hospital, and that are coming to probable cause hearings. And he was very clear about the fact that they do everything they can, of course, and that we're very fortunate here in Travis County, that they try to get those people out into the right places as quickly as possible in every way they can. And of course, they don't want them in the jail because that adds additional difficulties there. So they are trying very hard to make those things happen. And the same was true for Stan Kerr, who is a magistrate here in Travis County. And as he explained it to me, of course, he used to be one of the attorneys for the probable cause, at the probable cause hearings and the other hearings that they have at the state hospital and other hospitals. So he's now a magistrate, and the system there here in Travis County seems to be working well, or working probably extraordinarily well compared to some of the outside counties. At any rate, that's something that we can all take a look at, and if we have clients that come in that have a problem, that might give you some help with some of it. Now, just to tell you what else is in the paper, something I'm really happy that's there because I think it could be helpful for everybody. It's Robert Fleming's paper, or pieces out of a paper that he did in May of 2021, and it's planning for clients with diminished capacity. And for me, I had been asked probably 10 years ago by the state bar to do a presentation on dementia and what was dementia. And I, you know, found about 38 different things that were called dementia. And at any rate, Robert did an excellent thing here. As many of you know, he's an elder law attorney, has always been involved on a national level and with NALA. But he went in, and his paper is, if you don't look at another thing, look at that one, the pieces that are here from that, planning for clients with diminished capacity is what his paper was called. And it's here for you. He starts off with the causes of dementia, including Alzheimer's disease, vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia, Parkinson's disease, frontotemporal dementia, and other causes of dementia. It's a much more updated list. It's clear. It's very hard to find those things, but he's got them. Potentially reversible causes of cognitive dysfunction,